John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. I'm speaking with my colleague of many years, Charles Pellegrino, the author. And we're recovering Charlie's memories of the late 20th century from 1981-82 when he was in New Zealand lecturing about resurrecting dinosaurs using much the same speculation that was presented in Jurassic Park, a piece of amber with a flesh-eating fly inside. The fly was last parked on a dinosaur, and from that remains, you can recreate the genome of a dinosaur and lead to matching it with genomes today, say in ostriches that have much of the dinosaur in them, and through breeding, leave you with a dinosaur. Maybe it'll be a small T-Rex, maybe it'll be a poodle of a T-Rex, but it'll be a dinosaur. However, Charlie, I take you to something that we can philosophize about dinosaurs, but when it comes to human beings, we run into a different problem. And I read from most recent Nature magazine, scientists have sequenced the oldest Homo sapiens DNA on record, showing that many of Europe's first humans had Neanderthals in their family trees. Yet these individuals are not related to later humans, according to two genome studies of remains dating back more than 45,000 years from caves in Bulgaria and the Czech Republic. The genetic history of the earliest humans in Europe and Asia has been blurred, although researchers have sequenced DNA from Neanderthals and other extinct human relatives dating as far back as 430,000 years. There is a scarcity of genetic information from the period between around 47 and 40,000 years ago, known as the initial Upper Paleolithic, and no Homo sapiens DNA at all from before this period. Genomes belonging to humans from Siberia and Romania showed no connection to later waves of Europeans, but a 40,000-year-old individual from China is a partial ancestor of modern East Asian people. We begin the mystery. I read all this, Charlie, to propose if we can recreate dinosaurs using flesh-eating flies and amber, does not that suggest we can recreate archaic humans? And is that a philosophical challenge? Your opinion.
Oh, that's an even bigger philosophical challenge, getting back to the question of, yeah, we can do it, should we? I tend to think no.
And yet there it is, Charlie. We know that we know that if we have the technology, we can recreate Neanderthals. Now, there's reason to believe Neanderthals are sophisticated, were sophisticated with language and able to think symbolically, and they were very muscular, had thick skulls, and we have reason to believe that the reason they disappeared and we didn't was spinning the roulette wheel. Nothing logical about it. We don't have superior talents or skill sets to our knowledge than the Neanderthals, and we know that there are Neanderthal DNA in all of us. We know this. There was mixing early on. But what I'm saying, Charlie, is if we can get to a T-Rex, why couldn't we get to a 430,000-year-old tribe of Neanderthals who would be superior human beings?
I mean, we probably could. I think it would be easier than dinosaurs. It's if we're talking about Neanderthals or Homo erectus, they would look different from us. How would we modern humans treat them? We haven't treated, going back thousands of years, humans have treated each other pretty badly. I mean, I think we still have a lot of growing to do.
I would agree with that, but we know there are other archaic human beings that we're discovering all the time, such as the hobbits they've found in the Indonesia archipelago. We know that when Homo sapiens or when genomes are isolated, they shrink. We know that they become smaller. Maybe that's the origin of the hobbits. However, Charlie, we're talking about recreating a menagerie of Homo sapien ancestors. And just in the speculation of it, Charlie, you could see how someone could do it. You could see not a Jurassic Park, but a Homo sapien park.
That's the scary thing. I mean, would we take these people and kind of put them into a zoo somewhere, or, how would we be treating them? And maybe they shouldn't be treated different. Mentally, they're probably not very different from us at all. I expect if you had a Neanderthal walking around, he'd have developed the same mathematical skills. Certainly emotionally they'd be the same as us. I expect you would see Neanderthals working on Wall Street and teaching math in a university. So it's what would be this? What would we do with someone if we basically replicated a Neanderthal?
It's in front of us, Charlie. You've convinced me. It's in front of us. It's in front of us.
I'm not using. And I think Isaac Asimov, he wrote a story and he expanded it into a novel. He went there ahead of all of us with a story called The Ugly Little Boy. And you'll cry when you read it.
Charles Pellegrino, he is working very carefully in fiction and nonfiction to look into the future. I believe at the 25th anniversary of Jurassic Park, we can say it's back to the future. Do we recreate dinosaurs? Do we recreate our cousins? I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Ocean Earth. 3 to 4 billion years ago, Earth may have been a totally waterbound planet with the continents underwater, on the move, early with the beginnings of plate tectonics. A new study in AGU Advances by a Harvard team, featured in Nature magazine, presents the case that early Earth was dry until it was bombarded by water-bearing asteroids. Much of the water from the bombardment was stored in minerals called Wadsleyite and Ringwoodite, but there are not enough of those minerals to store all of that water. Where did it go? The logical suggestion is that it was on the surface, higher than Mount Everest. Interestingly, a total water world higher than Mount Everest challenges the reigning theories of how life began on Earth. At hydrothermal vents at the bottom of the ocean or at shallow pools on land. A large ocean dilutes the biomolecules of the vents and also drowns the land and the shallow pools. The research leader, a mineral physics graduate student, comments, "It's a very delicate system, the Earth. Too much water or too little, it wouldn't work." John Batchelor Show, all hours of the program available all the time on distinguished podcasters such as Apple Podcasts.